You'll see our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. All three places in chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, verses 29 to 31, and then 33 and 34. These should be familiar words to many of us, but try to hear them again as if for the first time. What are they speaking to you today at this particular point on your journey of faith? He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, the word of the week is procrastination. Do you know that word, procrastination? Let me give you the definition. And I quote, "To put off, usually habitually, doing something that should be done." Is that you? Yes, Elizabeth, it is you. That is you. Has it ever been you? Not just all that. Has it ever been you? All right, well, I prefer pressure prompted. That's the way I view it, okay? I didn't think about this till yesterday, but okay, never mind. Okay, hit the symbol. Okay, never mind. All right, friends, it's always now. It's always the time. Hear these opening words of Mark's gospel. Jesus comes back from the baptism. He comes back to Galilee. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is now, and the kingdom of God has come near. Change, repent, and believe in the good news." You know, not too long ago, I heard someone use an expression I hadn't heard used in a long, long time. And the expression was this: put your money where your mouth is. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, it makes no sense. It makes no sense, literally, but I knew exactly what they meant. I knew exactly what they meant. Sometimes we say, put up or shut up, right? All right? Sometimes we say, talk's cheap. Or maybe money talks and easy. All right. You know, at the heart of all these various metaphors lies a very basic idea. Now is the time to get serious. The time is at hand. Put that which is dearest to you on the line so we know that your intentions are genuine. It's always telling to me that so many of these expressions, in so many of the expressions, money figures prominently. Money's awfully close to our hearts, don't you think? Sure, okay. But it's not just money, right? It's what money symbolizes to us. Power. And that's what we really want, right? Power. When you're a kid, you don't have a lot of money, or you don't understand kind of the symbolism of money. So on the playground, the pecking order is not determined by currency. It is determined on physical supremacy, for the most part. You know, might makes right, as we say. This soon changes as we learn that physical intimidation will not be tolerated and the currency of power shifts to stuff, right? Whoever's the most stuff, or at least the most desirable stuff, wields power. If you don't have the right label, you're out of luck. You don't have the right stuff. You're out of power. You're totally insignificant. All right, ultimately we grow, we get down to business, and then we all agree one day that cash is king, or Bitcoin is king, right? Okay, show me the money is a mantra. Okay, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near, and no moth destroys." For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where we place ultimate value is a place where our heart and our soul resides. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Do you believe that? Sure you do. So the logic goes that if you place ultimate value on things that are impermanent, things that are fleeting, things that are, well, things, then you're setting yourself up for failure, existential failure. And of course, the logic would suggest that if you treasure that which is permanent, that which is substantial, you're bound for greater things. Jesus said the moment is now, right now. The kingdom of God is here. It's right here among us. It's time to change. And you remember the parable that we've talked about several weeks in a row. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. I'm finding one pearl of great value. He sold all that he had to get it. These words have consumed me for the past few weeks. The kingdom of heaven, and that's the cipher, isn't it? That's a symbol of our lives. Call it what you will, but it boils down to the same thing. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is that for which we are searching. That which will bring sustainable satisfaction, wholeness, happiness, peace, and so on. The kingdom of heaven is that status in life that will bring all those emotional states with it. So what is it in your life? What does the kingdom of heaven look like in your life? Now be careful. Don't confuse the means with the end. Are you consumed with the quest of stuff? Is your whole life centered around that quest? Why? What is your goal? And how do you know when you've achieved your goal? What will it look like? How much money will make you happy? Now, I saw a study recently. They put a number on it. It seems it's always just a little bit more than you have. Just a little bit more. If I just get here, I'll be okay. All right. Or maybe it's status you're after. You want to be the boss of all the bosses. Right? You want to be number one. Why? Why? What will happen when you become number one? What will happen? You know, will you find peace? The peace that will rain down on heaven on you and your life? Or maybe it's sports. Are you consumed by a group identity grounded in athletic competition? I used to be. Until last night. Okay, never mind. Sorry, never mind. What does that mean? How will that sustain you when your world comes apart at its seams? In those dark nights of the soul, to what will you cling? The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Find one pearl of great value. Sells everything he has to get it. Have you found your pearl yet? Have you found your kingdom of heaven? And if you have, more power to you. Cling to it for all it's worth. Do whatever you have to do to maintain it. Just be careful that you're not kidding yourself. Just be careful you're not confusing temporary frontal lobe excitement for that which sustains the deep levels of our souls. Think this through carefully. What is a pearl in your life? And why do you seek after it with such voracity? You know, there's a passage in the Gospels that keeps me honest with myself. When I seem to get to a level of certainty, Jesus said to his self-assured opponent, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our fathers.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." Do not presume. Yikes. That keeps me up at night. Presumption. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is now. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." You see, he just arrives on the scene in Galilee, and he goes about proclaiming this idea of this kingdom of God. And he tells people, this is a new way of going about life. And he says, "Follow me." And he goes about extending grace and goodness into this horrible, hurting world. And he invites everybody to go with him, and a bunch of people follow him, but not everyone. And that kind of invitation has gone out down across the ages. And we've all responded in some way. You know, we're here this morning. Some way we've responded and said, that's the way we want to go about our lives. And so here we again at Lent. Here we are in the middle of the Lenten season, and the call continues to drive us. And it's prefaced by this exhortation, the time is now, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Friend, it's always now. It's always right now. It's always been right now. It'll always be right now. The kingdom of God is always among us, so it's always a good time to change, to embrace it. It's always a good time. The Lenten season is symbolic of the eternal now. The problem many of us face is that we don't really understand that. We see that the kingdom of God is always something we'll pursue tomorrow. I'll find that pearl tomorrow. But in the words of the great song, tomorrow never comes. No. So a life that is grounded in substance is always a little bit out of our reach. 2 weeks ago, I issued the challenge, the Lenten challenge, okay? And that challenge was for all of us to rethink how we do Lent. You know, how we do faith, how we do life. The challenge was to begin an intentional process of transformation. The challenge was to find our way to grab a hold of the kingdom of God as it insinuates itself into our lives. And the challenge was to locate that pearl of great value and then do whatever we had to do to maintain it. Possession. It's that valuable. It's that important. Now remember, Lent is a journey, a 40-day journey, right? A process. And we don't expect to get to be where we need to be just in 40 days. We just hope to be making some progress, right? We talked about the classic book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Does anybody remember that book? It's a classic. And in that book, the caterpillar eats everything. Consumes, consumes, and consumes. All of a sudden, one day, it wraps itself in a cocoon. And then lo and behold, after X amount of days, a butterfly. A butterfly. And the question, Bernie, is where did all the parts come from? Where did the parts come from for this butterfly? And the bottom line is, they're already in there, somewhere, somewhere. So as we move through this holy season, continue to move through this holy season, with an open mind and a good spirit, we'll begin this transformative process. What do you have to lose? We can always go back to business as usual, like we do most Lents. That's what I do. I just go back. But I don't think you will. I don't think you will. You remember, the process of transformation begins with the identification of obstacles, obstacles to abundant life. In other words, what is getting in your way of finding genuine and sustainable meaning for your life? What is it? What is it? Specifically, you know, what is getting between you and the pearl of great value? Now, the idea was to ponder, our Lenten idea was to ponder this, and then write it down. Name the obstacle. We did it on Ash Wednesday. We wrote them down. We left this sanctuary. We burned those cards, and we let them go, right? And then we said the next week, we're going to tell somebody this new way of going about life that we are pursuing. We're going to share it with somebody, and we're going to ask them to hold us accountable. Charlotte's going to ask us, is going to hold us accountable. Are we walking that walk? And so then we said, you know, we thought about it, we wrote it down, we asked somebody to hold us accountable. And then last week we identified an action, really an inaction, that would if undertaken, would help us accomplish our goal. And that action or inaction was to stop. Just stop. Find a still point from which you can get your bearings. We don't ever stop. Now, I've got a crazy theory that we all have this rhythm in our lives, and maybe divinely wired rhythm. The problem is we keep getting out of rhythm for whatever reason. We get out of sync, and it's like when you're marching with people, let's say, and you get out of rhythm. It's really hard to get back in unless you stop and then restart. So today we begin or continue the process of moving forward in this quest to find that pearl. It's within our reach. We know that, and we have done the homework. And now we are poised to make the changes that we know we must make. So hopefully you have begun to identify those still points where you can just stop for just a moment, long enough, so then you can launch a change in your life. All right. Here are some concrete things that I have been pondering this week that I am considering doing over these closing days of Lent to help me begin my new life. Hear these out. And then find your own, obviously. Spend more time with those you love. Quality time. Stop meaningless consumption. Just stop. Turn off the television. Live your life, not someone else's life, this reality show. No, your life is exciting if you will live it. You know, get outside, read more, read the classics, start a book club, get outside, challenge your mind to think new thoughts. Challenge yourself to see the world from the other's perspective. Push yourself, you know, give away your stuff, give away your time. Talk to folks, greet strangers, be kind, forgive people. Well, you get the idea. You have 18 days. 18 days. No more procrastination. Seize the pearl. We'll talk more about this next week. Thanks be to God. Amen.